Hey everybody, Nate here. Before the show, I just wanted to take a minute to talk about our sponsor, the Snack Nanny. The Snack Nanny is the latest, greatest spill-proof bowl. It's the first snack bowl for kids with a self-closing door. The Snack Nanny allows kids to snack freely without overeating, keeps kids entertained, and prevents them from creating a mess for mom and dad to clean up. Kids and parents love the Snack Nanny. It's easy to use, easy to clean, and includes portion control features that only the Snack Nanny offers. To order, go to www.snacknanny.com. or order from Amazon. Remember, you support our sponsors and they support us. Thanks, and Nihei Debiru. Hi everyone, and welcome back to Chop Talk. I'm your host, Nate England. If you listen to this show on iTunes, please write a review and give us a 5-star rating. Also, don't forget to like the show on Facebook. Let's start by announcing a few upcoming events. On April 24th and 25th, Robert Bowles will be hosting the ISA International Martial Arts Seminar in Fort Wayne, Indiana. To find out more, visit www.shuri-ru.com. From June 11th to 15th, Neil Stolzmark will hold the 14th Annual Warrior Gashiku Seminar in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. This year's guest of honor is Minoru Nakazato, 10th Dan and Shorinru Shorinkan. Find out more at www.authenticancientarts.com. From June 26th to 28th, Philip Keppel will host the 31st USKK International Karate Kobudo Championship Seminar and Tournament in Peoria, Illinois. Find out more at www.uskk.org. From October 2nd to 4th, also in Peoria, Illinois, Joseph Walker will host the Kagami Bikari Gashiku. Go to AOK Karate on Facebook.com for further details. Also, in early November, the Kosho School of Karate will host a major event in Cincinnati, but we're not quite ready to make that announcement yet. We'll talk more about this in the next few weeks. If you have an upcoming seminar, tournament, or other martial arts event, let us know and we'd be happy to announce it on the show. This week we have the final part of my interview with Sensei David Hammond, 7th degree black belt, head instructor, and co-owner of the Kosho School of Karate in Cincinnati, Ohio. We went through Sensei Hammond's bio and how he got started in the martial arts in part 1, and last week we talked about his experience in the industrial design business. So please go back and have a listen if you haven't already. This week we start off talking about the construction of the current location of the Kosho School of Karate on Beachmont Avenue in Cincinnati. We then talk a little shop as Mr. Hammond gives us his insights on how to train at such a high level for such a long time, and discuss some of the techniques and training methods that he has developed over the years. At the end we talk about getting back into the karate business and how far the school has come in the last year. And I know that we couldn't have done it without Sensei Hammond's leadership. We're all very lucky to have him here, and I just want to say thank you from all the instructors and students. To find out more about the Kosho School of Karate and Sensei David Hammond, go to www.koshoschoolofkarate.com. Visit the school's page on Facebook, call 513-510-3844, or email koshoschoolofkarate@gmail.com. To find out more about his industrial design business, David Hammond Design, or the products he currently has on the market, go to www.davidhammond.com. or email dhammon@davidhammon.com. Hammond is spelled H-A-M-A-N-N. Thanks for listening, and enjoy the show.
Oh, well, eventually, the dojo on Beachmont was built. Mm. And that all took place at a time when I was pretty busy at school and work, because I wasn't around for that.
Okay.
I wasn't around when they were building that school.
Okay.
And I wasn't around when Master Trius came out, when they made the transition from the old school to the new school. They had a police escort. They brought over some relics from the old school or something like that.
Right.
Master Trius shook a magic wand or some special thing and did the ceremony, some kind of traditional ceremony. And I wasn't there for that. I'm not sure why. I think that might have been the time when I was in Europe. Mm. Before I graduated, I took 10 weeks in went to Europe and I just wasn't around. So once I did graduate, then I was free to do, you know, a lot more, and I became a regular, a regular.
Yeah, at the dojo. I missed a big event there too when I was at Miami. I think that's when they had Takeyoshi Nagamine.
Yeah.
Came and did a big seminar and event there, and that's the week I had finals.
Yeah.
So, I missed that.
So, there was a time when I helped run the dojo here. I mean, somebody always helped run the dojo.
Right.
You know, manage it during the day or teach day classes or make sure the door, you know, the doors are open at night, you know, and, you know, fill in the spots for teaching classes, stuff like that.
But you've been doing that for a while. When I was going to Miami in 2003, 2005, I mean, you were teaching a weekly class regularly at that point. When I moved back to Cincinnati in 2010, you were Mondays, every Monday you were teaching. So you've been.
So I've always taught. I've always taught one night a week and at the minimum, and worked out in other classes and
you know,
been involved.
You brought up something earlier, you know, about, you know, you said, you know, looking back, you can't believe that you know, Mike Davis outran you. But, you know, that's something, you know, kind of, you know, you're over 60 years old, and most of the people that are your age are not working out like you're working out. I mean, you are still, when you teach class, you do everything with everybody. You're doing all the techniques. You're working out just as hard as somebody who would be in their 20s. And that's unusual. A lot of times when guys have been in martial arts as long as you have, they're less and less active. But you've been able to avoid the injuries, or at least deal with them, and just train as hard as you're able. I mean, how were you able to do that?
Well, I think for one thing, whenever I got injured, I try to take care of it, try to baby it a little bit, you know, still train, but try not to re-injure. And I believe in, for the past 20 years or so, I really believe in a good warm-up. I mean, you know that from working out with
me.
The first 20 minutes or half an hour of every class is warm-ups, and it's not just stretching exercises, it's non-stop, leg swings, arm swings, do this, do that, so that, you know, the body's ready to do the hard stuff. And I think because of that, you know, I've had a lot, hopefully because of that, a lot less injuries, a lot less pulled muscles and those sorts of things. Of course, I've had the broken noses and the black eyes and the broken ribs and all that stuff along the way. And you gotta do the best you can.
Yeah.
But try not to tear it up. So I don't know, that may be it. But today I still place a lot of importance on the warm ups because those are things that you gotta do. You know, you gotta keep the body moving. And I found that the longer I've been in karate, the more diverse techniques you can throw, the faster you can throw them, the harder you can throw them. If you're not warmed up to do that, you know, your body just can't take it. So, I mean, I think that's just true in general. I think the longer that you're in, the harder and faster more extreme techniques you can apply, your body's gotta be able to do it. So it's kind of an interesting phenomenon. When you first start and you're a kid,
A
young kid,
just jump out there and punch and kick,
and you're not gonna pull. You might pull a muscle, you might not. Who cares? So just being careful about those things, I think, is part of it.
And you've continued to compete. I know every year, you know, it's not like you're going around the country on a competition tour, but you know, you're going to the USKK championships every year, you're fighting every year, you're sparring in class every week, and you're still staying real active. The one thing I was wondering is, especially over the last few months, we've been running a lot more kata in class than we normally have.
Right.
Why the hell aren't you doing that at the competition? I mean, you're fighting in the competition, but your kata's really good.
Yeah, well, thanks.
But you're not doing that. You just want to punch people, or what is it?
I don't know. I guess over the past few years, I've been in a position where I feel like I haven't been able to work out enough.
Okay.
To do my best.
Okay.
In tournament competition. And I used to go to tournaments and I was working out enough I could do real well. I could win. And then I, of course, found myself over time in situations where I can't work out that much. Yeah. I go to the tournament and I would compete anyway.
Mm-hmm.
I've always gone to the tournaments and competed for sensei. I mean, I didn't... I used to really enjoy tournaments when I was younger. It's not that big a thrill in it for me. I don't know. It's just a personal thing.
Yeah. No, I understand.
But I always go and I always do it for sensei. I always do it because that's one little thing that I can do. I can go and I can participate.
Right.
But I don't like going and losing. You know, right. I don't like going and losing when I know I can win.
Okay. Yeah.
So for that reason, I'll go to the tournament. Or in the past, you know, few years, I'll go to the tournament. I'll support sensei. I'll do all the things that, you know, that we do at the tournaments.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's meetings and all sorts of things.
Right.
And then compete. So it's fun once I get out there, you know. I don't feel like I'm always prepared for it.
Okay.
But a lot of times I do it anyway. Mm-hmm. So when I go and I don't do it, it's just because maybe there's an injury that's telling me that you may not win, but you're, because of that leg, you're certainly not going to win, you know.
Uh-huh.
And I just kind of not do it.
Okay.
But I may get back in there. And
yeah. Well, you know, you said earlier that at one point you decided to get out of the karate business, but now you're back in the karate business.
Yeah, right.
We both are.
Yep.
And you're, you know, I don't know, you have a great setup in your house. I know you got a great dojo area in your garage, work grad equipment, some Makiwara, and you know, maybe you were working out on your own there. But for the last year, you've been at the dojo teaching, you know, most of the classes and working out, you know, not every day, but a good chunk of the week. You know, is that more, you more in the that sort of mode now?
Yeah, possibly.
Yeah.
You know, I might do a little bit more competing.
Mm-hmm.
I'm certainly in much better shape because I've been working out at the dojo 3 and 4 times a week, in classes that are 2 hours, 2.5 hours, that sort of thing.
Yeah,
which is very cool.
Yeah,
you know, it's really a nice place to be. 60 plus years old and mm-hmm. healthy enough to do that.
Yeah,
and doing it.
Right.
You know, it's like, damn it, this is cool.
Looking for a way to gain an edge on the competition? Want to give your body some much-needed relief and relaxation? Try Medical Resort ATAC, Okinawa's specialist in sports therapy and wellness care. ATAC offers customizable massage therapy. Try their oxygen chamber for increased metabolism and faster recovery from injuries. Or take their stretching course to improve flexibility. ATAC is used by professional athletes from the Ryukyu Golden Kings, FC Ryukyu, and Ryukyu Corazon. Stop into their center Monday through Saturday at 12830 Oroku in Naha City, Okinawa. Call 098-859-1890 or visit them on the web at www.sanso-atac.com. That's www.sanso-atac.com. Hey everybody, Nate here. I just want to take a minute to talk about our new sponsor, the Micro Bar. The Micro Bar is an innovative, cutting-edge new type of seating that's perfect for restaurants, cafes, bars, and even the party room at home. The microbar is a very versatile product, and it's perfect for residential or commercial applications. It can be used alone or grouped with other microbars to create multiple seating arrangements. The microbar is perfect for anywhere that seating and standing people interact. So whether you're looking for a new piece of furniture for the breakfast nook at home or you're remodeling a restaurant, go to www.microbar.net. That's www.microbar.net. Or call 513-232-9405. Thanks again for supporting our sponsors.
So, I may start competing a little bit more.
Yeah, that'd be good. You know, so one of the things that I noticed, I always try to pay attention when I work out with different people, is the different techniques, the different approaches that people have. One of the things that really jumped out in your almost all your workouts is that what you do your techniques, whether blocks or punch, usually the blocks, but then you work on the reverse of that technique also. So you work on that throwing that block out, and then you work on doing the reverse of it. Is that something you came up with yourself? Did you learn that somewhere along the line? Where did that come in?
Well, that's pretty much my thing. I think it stemmed from at one point. Well, I designed a piece of training equipment at one time.
Okay.
And part of the theory behind the way that I designed it was that a lot of times we'll do an exercise, whether it's weightlifting or whatever, and we use just the one muscle that performs the action.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't necessarily focus on the muscle that does the opposite action.
Okay.
So you may do push-ups all the time.
Right.
And you get strong in the front part of your body, but you don't do the rowing action and develop that antagonist muscle.
Okay.
On the opposite side of your body. And it just seemed to me that in order to be a pure specimen, you know, you want to have balance there. Now, that may not be, you know, accurate, you know, thinking, but it seems like it is, that you want to be strong in both directions.
Sure.
Equally strong.
Sure.
So I developed a piece of equipment which I think you've seen, and others that know me have seen it, because I set it up at a tournament one time and to get some feedback. But it utilizes your body weight. It's a piece of equipment that's configured so that you can go through five exercises on it using your body weight, like a push-up, a dip, a pull-up, and you can flip your body over into just a sort of opposite position relative to the ground, and you can do that opposite exercise.
Okay.
And so that was an attempt with my background to try to come up with some training equipment that helped develop that. And then as far as the karate, I didn't want to get off track there, but as far as the karate goes,
the Beast is what that
was called, the Beast.
And I don't know if is that the nickname, or is that what's on the patent application?
No, that's the nickname.
That's the nickname.
The Beast, because it's a beast.
Yes.
There is a problem with it, and that is, it's not that easy to lift your body weight once you get, if you're a young guy, young person, and you're really lightweight, you can do a lot of pull-ups and push-ups and things like that, but people can't always lift their body weight, so there's a drawback there. Although there were some elements put into it where you could lift parts, you know, just percentage of it. Anyway, so I always had this idea in mind that you should work both muscles, right? Balance, you know, have balance. And then what I realize is, with our karate, you know, there's things that we do one way always. You know, like we always do our chudon.
Right.
From down and across the body, up and out.
Right.
Always. We never do the opposite.
Yeah.
Movement. And I always felt like, well, if you did the other direction, you're working the other muscles. Why not? You know, it seems like it would help you control your technique if you had as much muscle control and strength going in the opposite direction. So, you know, I've got a lot of sort of theories that I think about that I practice like that, that I think could be helpful, and I try them out. And I work the shit out of them and see what happens. So that's one of those things. Yeah. So we do that. We do periodically we'll focus on our Jodan, and we'll do 10 of those. And then we'll, after that, we will do the opposite, just kind of like reeling it backwards, in a film. Mm-hmm. What's that look like if I do it in reverse?
Right.
And it becomes the empty as a strike behind you in a traditional, you know, application of the technique. And the reaching motion that you would normally do for the block becomes a strike. Mm. And so now we're working two totally different techniques that we don't normally work that much.
Right.
And working the heck out of them.
Yeah.
And I think it does make a difference.
Yeah.
Another thing that I've done is along that same line is just work that technique halfway. Well, some styles work techniques sort of halfway, whereas we typically work more of a full range technique.
Right.
And that's beneficial. Mm-hmm. You know, that's kind of just...
And by halfway, I know you worked it from, let's say, from hiki, from down by the hip, up halfway, but also if it's starting in front of the chest, like all the way up, we're talking about a high block.
Right.
So working the different...
So any of these techniques that you could work in the regular direction and in the opposite direction, you could work it just halfway. Mm. From the starting position halfway up, or from the halfway position all the way up. And I don't know, it can get a little extreme, maybe, but I've found it beneficial.
Yeah.
So I do it.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I know from working with you on that for the last 4 years, it was awkward as hell. That was the first time I really did that. Because it's different than just pulling hiki. Okay, I'm doing a elbow strike, you know, it was very awkward at first, but it really is beneficial to get that different feel on the technique.
So I've done it, you know, I do a number of exercises that are really just sort of studies. They develop from studies of the techniques that we do. You know, it's like the circular arm swing drills that we do. You know, one of the things behind that exercise is I believe that repetition, you know, we all know this, right? Repetition is the key to developing something. The more times you repeat that action, the more it becomes a natural reaction.
Yeah.
And if you can repeat a technique in the proper method, you know, through the proper path and the application, and you can do it a ton of times, your body's going to be more inclined to do that naturally.
And you don't have to think about it.
Right.
You know, you tell people all the time, I'm saying not you specifically, but in general, maybe I tell people all the time, it's like, okay, you've learned this technique, now go over there and do it 1,000 times.
Right.
And after that, you don't have to think about it. Okay, my hand is going from here to here. Right. You've just done it, so your body now knows what technique to do.
Right. And that's what karate training is all about, right? I think that's one of the things that the Asian arts training has given us that maybe wasn't so well developed in other cultures. I can't believe that they, in medieval Europe, they practiced as intensely with as much focus, but I could be wrong. I could be wrong.
They didn't focus on the technique as much. So here's a sword. Go hack that guy in the armor, as opposed to the Japanese who, okay, here's how you draw the sword. Now just do it 10,000 times, over and over and over again until you don't even have to think about it anymore.
Yeah. So with some of the warm up exercises that I was referring to, the circular arm warm ups. The idea with those is to determine the path of both of your hands in a shuto, augmented shuto, for instance, and turn that into just a circular motion that you can do a bunch of times as a drill smoothly. So you get your warm-up in, but you're also doing that repetitive motion in the exact... path that it needs to be, and so that that becomes, you start to learn the path of that technique, and yeah, that's how it becomes, you know,
ingrained.
Yeah. So I do a lot of that, as you know.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I have to do a lot of hard stuff, you know. I just have to do it.
Mawari no hito ni sa wo sukete imasen ka? Anata no karada wa kyusoku wo hitsuyou to shite imasen ka? Sports massage kenkou no specialist Medical Resort ATAC wo ichido torai shite mite kudasai. ATAC dewa okyaku sama no karada ni awasaita massage wo okunaimasu. Mata, ATAC no sanso shitsu ni mo torai shite mite kudasai. Taisha koujo, kega no soki kaifuki ni kikimasu. Junansei wo takamero, stretching course ni mo torai shite mite kudasai. ATAC wa pro chimu, Rukyu Golden Kings, FC Rukyu, soshite Rukyu Korazan no senshu mo ryo shite masu. Zehi ichido goraiten kudasai. Open, getsuyobi kara doyobi made, Okinawa ken, Naha shi, Oroku, 1-28 no 30. Denwa bango, 098-859-1890. Homepage mo cheko shite mite kudasai. www.sanso-atac.com. www.sanso-atac.com. Ego, Portugal go, Spain go, Nihon go ga hanaseru staff ga imasu. Hey everyone, like the show? Enjoy hearing interviews with martial artists from around the world? Then share it with a friend, family member, co-worker, everyone at your dojo, your fellow karateka. You can find new episodes every Sunday at choptalk.podbean.com. That's choptalk.podbean.com. And don't forget to like the show on Facebook. Thanks. Remember, if you have an upcoming seminar, tournament, or other martial arts event, let us know, and we'd be happy to announce it on the program. And now, back to the show.
It's like for the past week, we've been doing something that I haven't done in a long time, and that's stomp kicks.
Right.
You know, and one of the things that you've commented on a couple times is I like to work exercises in every direction.
Yeah, absolutely. These, I call them, I don't know what I've called them clockwork drills before. I think, I don't know if that's my term or your term or something, but where you're working things at these different angles around. So you start straight to the front, then it's 45 to the side, straight to the side, 45 to the back, to the left rear, 45 straight out, and all the way around. In fact, the first class that I ever went to with you, we worked that. You had a kicking drill where you had this kick in all these different directions. And I think we had to keep
without setting your foot down.
Without setting your foot down, exactly right. I remember that because I was sore as hell the next day.
Yeah, I, again, I, you know, over time, trying to hone my skills, you know, I take a look at all the techniques that we have in our style and all the techniques in the kata, and I look at things like, well, you know, in the kata, we always work this at that angle, but why shouldn't I be able to work this at that angle, mm-hmm. and this angle, and this angle, and this angle? Mm-hmm. And in the techniques that we do, some of those are there, but not every angle is covered.
Right.
Always. So I've come up with drills where I cover every angle.
Yeah.
Damn it.
Yeah.
And we do it till our legs fall off.
Yeah.
And so over the past week, we've been working fumikomi, mm-hmm. where you bring your knee to your chest, you know, and you get it up there so you can stomp down. Nothing new about that.
Right.
But we work the front angle. We work 45 degree front. We do work straight to the side, 45 degree 45 to the rear and directly to the rear. And hey, I mean, if we do that, we're going to be versatile, right? Mm-hmm. We got a technique that goes at whatever angle we may need to throw it,
right,
without turning our body,
right?
And so I like to do that. I've done that with most of the techniques that we work. Mm-hmm. And you know, part of that too comes from the idea, the principle that there are different angles. You know, in the pinnacle, there's sure. this talk about 8 angles. Mm-hmm. Although I never was never in a class or anything where we worked 8 angles. I'm not really sure what that meant. Now, that may just be because I was not in the right place at the right time.
Yeah, you
know, not around Master Trias or
you were somebody in Dayton when they happened to cover that class in Peoria
or whatever. Yeah. So I think it's, you know, it's mentioned in the pinnacle, but
sure.
without a lot of detail, mm-hmm. just that there's 8 angles, and that could mean a lot of things. So I try to work that drill, 8, you know, the mm-hmm. angle drills, mm-hmm. you know, with a lot of different techniques.
Yeah.
Not really everything, but I do that. Plus, there's some other drills that I've worked that are pretty simple. That just you stand in a fighting position and you move to that left angle, that left 45 degree mm-hmm. angle, and throw the technique. Or you move straight to the side into mm-hmm. a kibo and throw the same technique. Or you move back and
mm-hmm. which, you know, I had to work those as a black, you know, for my black belt test in Peoria. We had to do those angles, but you know, you've sort of taken it to a different level because you spent so much time focusing on this and developing this drill. I knew it as a concept, but you really, you know, you really developed that. So you're working these angles. Okay, the guy punches you here, you set the left, you know, the front left 45 and back, and you can work all the way around. And you know, you got it down so well. I mean, when my student Charlotte was getting ready to test for black belt, I'm like, look, you just got to work out with sensei. You want to learn this piece of this thing, I can tell you about it, but you just need to go out, work out with sensei Hammond, because he's the master of this. This is his sort of specialty. You've kind of taken that and made it your own.
Yeah, well, I wouldn't necessarily call it a specialty, but
well,
you know, the thing is, it's just I like to break things down, you know, and I mm-hmm. think that you can run something the way it is in the waza, or the way it is as prescribed in the kata forever, mm-hmm. but you might be missing an angle where you could throw that mm-hmm. if you broke it down and practiced all those angles. So that's mm-hmm. kind of what that's all about. It's not really new techniques. It's just kind of filling in the gaps,
okay.
I guess I'd call it.
Very cool. Well, any other interesting stories you want to talk about, Thumper or anything like that?
No, I don't think this is a place for Thumper.
I'll save that for the second episode. What about you know, being back in the business, running the karate school? What's that been? Any thoughts on that? Yeah, I know.
Let's see. Long pause. I don't know. It's interesting. I think it's a good thing. I mean, it's not something I planned.
Yeah, I don't think anybody did.
Of course, and you know, in a way, it was definitely unfortunate that it happened the way that it did. I don't know if you want to hear all this,
but right. Yeah.
It's good to be in the dojo more.
Yeah.
You know, I guess my answer to that is it's good to be in the dojo more. It's kind of fun to teach some of the really, really novice students. And it's kind of fun to teach some of the really, really, really young students right now.
Because that's something that the school here, you know, we went through it earlier in the episode where it was in the garage and then it was on this street and that street. Now, a lot of the people that started in that garage are still working out there. This school in Cincinnati was a very top-heavy school.
Yeah,
There was a lot of black belts, very high-ranking black belts that have just been doing karate forever that were all still working out in the same place.
Right.
and not a lot of beginners. Less than a handful, I would say, when we...
Oh, yeah. It became... this school really became more of a club. Kind of a private club. It was, you know, paying the bills, and that's about it. Mm-hmm. You know, this, we weren't really actively, I say we, because I was involved, I was teaching and working out up there, but
right.
we weren't really actively involved in soliciting new business. I think everybody was happy just to have a nice place to train and work out on Friday nights and that sort of thing.
Yeah.
But you're right, there are still guys working out that were working out back in the garage and in the first dojo. And mm-hmm. and Mr. Gangloff, and Mr. Voles, Mr. Sastry, Mr. Tony.
Mm-hmm.
And
which is unusual, and that's one of the things that really struck me when I maybe not when I was at Miami, because I would just come down maybe once a week and work out. You know, I think Tony Awad was teaching most of the classes yeah. when I came down. I worked out with you. I worked out with Tom Awad, but mostly with Tony. So I didn't really get the whole picture then. But when I moved back to town, I kind of realized, wow, here's an 8th degree black belt, 2 7th degree black belts, 6th degree black belt, a couple 5ths and 4ths, and that was it, you know? And here I am, I'm the youngster in the, mm-hmm. in the low rank as a 30-year-old third Don, which by that time, in most other dojos, somebody has gotten pissed at somebody else and gone out and done their own thing, or they all would have.
Yeah.
At that school, there were, I don't want to exaggerate here, there were maybe 10 people actively working out who could have legitimately had their own school and had a really nice
sure.
school.
Sure.
But they were all still working out of that same place.
Yep.
And so it was a really good atmosphere
yep.
for that. But, you know, in the last year, we've opened it up. We've got more people in there. We've got the youngsters in there, and we've got the beginners, which that place hasn't seen many beginners in the last 10 years.
Right.
Years.
Looking for great entertainment? Want to find the best deals on food and drinks? Use the PubPal app to find great establishments near you. View daily specials, find live bands, karaoke, even poetry. If you're looking for something to do, PubPal is the answer, and it's only a click away. Download the app on the Apple Store and get the Android app on Google Play. And don't forget to like them on Facebook. Visit PubPalUSA.com to find out more. That's PubPalUSA. PubPalUSA.
And we've got, I mean, we're just getting to a point after a year where I think things are starting to, some inertia is being built up. People are starting to hear about the school. People are starting to tell their friends about the school.
Right.
And, you know, we're having two or three people a week come in.
Yeah.
Walk in.
Yeah.
Pretty regular.
Yes.
And it's cold out. so that's good, and people are happy to be there, mm-hmm. and we're happy to have them. That's enjoyable, you know.
Right.
And one thing that's fun is the kids. We have a mixed for the listeners. We have as we've been building up the school, we have a mixed class on Monday and Wednesdays that Mr. England teaches.
Mm-hmm.
And I tried to encourage him several times to have several classes instead of one, because there's all these different people and sizes and ages and in one room. One room. And he has this lesson plan to be able to give this lesson to these three people and this lesson to those two people and this lesson to those four people. And he has assistants teaching all those things at the same time.
Yes.
It's like controlled chaos. That's probably a good thing. But it's working out. He's doing a really good job of
it. Well, thank you.
And it's actually a treat to see. But everybody's working hard. Everybody's working on the appropriate material. And occasionally, when Mr. England can't be there, I'll go in and teach that class. And they're a fine bunch. I mean, for having that diverse a crowd, yeah. Diverse of students in one room at one time, I teach a little differently than he does. Mm-hmm. When I come in to teach it, and they're all lined up, and they're all doing what they're supposed to, and they've all got it together, and it's really impressive. So that's a good thing, yeah. and that's fun, mm. and that's fun.
Yeah, so that is, you know, that is one of the nice things about this school, is that there can be a little diversity in the way that they teach, and you can point someone in someone's direction. It's like, hey, look, because we have so many really, really experienced teachers teaching every single night.
Yeah.
You can tell somebody, hey, look, you know, go to Sensei Hammond's class on Saturday. It's not going to be the same as my class, but you're going to really get something out of it. You know, go work with Mr. Voles on Tuesday nights. You know, he's been doing karate for, you know, 35, 40 years himself.
Yeah.
And you're going to get a different perspective on it. The stances are going to be, you're going to work on the stances, you're going to work on the fundamentals. Go work on Tuesday night with Mr. Sastry, and you're going to get a different view on it. But it's going to be great. And, you know, if somebody wanted to only stick with one instructor, that's great. They can get all the material.
Yeah.
But... you know, I really enjoy, and I'm kind of proud of the fact that we have so many people that, with that much experience, that can, that somebody can come and learn from, all yeah. under one roof.
Yep.
And that doesn't happen very often.
No. And I think the word's going to get out before too long. I mean, you know, look, think about it. We've got a seventh Don and a fifth Don and how many fourth Dons, and all these people are training in karate because they love it, and they're still there and they're doing it. And we're the main instructors.
Yeah.
And you know, you might be a beginning student working out in your second class, and you come into my Saturday class at 10 o'clock, mm-hmm. and you're the only one there. So you get a private lesson from this guy that's been doing it for 40 years. I mean, I think it's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
And I think the word's going to get out, and we're going to...
I think so. Those people aren't going to be getting private lessons for much longer.
No.
I mean, it's starting to fill up. You know, the Monday, Wednesday nights are starting to get full. That Tuesday night's starting to get full. And, you know, we're going to have to start splitting it up and having those extra classes, because we just don't have the space to keep them all in the same
place. We might have to buy that building next door like we talked about.
I think we might. and we might be able to get a loan this time.
Oh, man. Well, I want to say a couple things about you, Mr. England.
All right.
For all the listeners out there, Mr. England is a phenomenal guy. To come in here and train with all of us. And I mean, he's found a home. We're all dedicated. He's dedicated, and it's just working out great. And when we decided to take over the dojo, we started a formal business. Mr. England and Mr. Voles and I, and others were involved. I mean, we invited everybody that could to help out in any way that they can, and they did. Everybody did, in whatever way that they could.
It was absolutely an open door.
Yeah,
whoever wanted to get involved in whatever way they could,
and they did. And you know, if it was just suggestions or recommendations on how to start the business or what to do or what not to do, or offers to teach classes or do this or do that or help build the place. I mean, everybody, even a lot of students that aren't even training much anymore. Everybody has contributed. And
there have been people that haven't trained or been in the dojo for 20 years that all of a sudden came out and offered to help
right.
in different ways.
Right. And so there's that. And we, you know, this is a word to those guys too. You know, we all appreciate
absolutely.
That. And
absolutely.
We're all part of the same thing. you know. So we're doing what we can, so the dojo will always be there, and we certainly appreciate everybody's help.
Yeah.
But back to you.
Okay.
Mr. Engel has done a fantastic job of keeping the business end in order. I mean, making sure that the bills are paid and that somebody's figured out how to take credit cards and and make sure that all the lesson plans are printed and all that. I mean, it's all kind of minutia that people really don't care about. They don't understand what goes on behind the scenes to make it all happen. But there really is a lot of work that goes on, and we're all pitching in. But there's, you know, the effort that Mr. Engel is putting in to be in there how many times a week, you know, 4 times a week, 5 times a week, to make sure the doors are open and make sure that, you know, if somebody called for a lesson or a meeting or something, they're there, that he's there. And it just, everything's running smoothly. Everything is really running smoothly for the amount of things that have to get done. And you know, you're really responsible for kind of holding all that together. So I know everybody appreciates it, and I do. So.
Well, I, you know, appreciate it, you know, but if I can do it, anybody can do it. You know, especially running the business and paying the bills. But I know myself and everybody else really appreciates the fact that you've been there, because, you know, like you said, that there's how many fourth thons, nobody really knows. That's, there's a bunch of us. And to have somebody that's a step, or actually several steps above that, to really, you know, kind of lead the group and be the head of the dojo, that's, you know, that's what all of us really appreciate. So I'm glad to be here too, and I'm glad I found a good group and a good family to work out with.
Good.
All right.
Good. Well, thank you.
Thank you very much. Thanks.
You're
for
welcome.
Thanks for talking with me, and we'll have to do it again soon.
Sure.
All right.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
That's all for this week's show. Thanks again to my guest, David Hammond. And not just for the interview, but for everything he's done for karate, the school, and myself over the last few years. To find out more about the Kosho School of Karate and Sensei David Hammond, go to www.koshoschoolofkarate.com. Visit the school's page on Facebook, call 513-510-3844, or email koshoschoolofkarate@gmail.com. To find out more about his industrial design business, David Hammond Design, or the products he has currently on the market, go to www.davidhammond.com. That's www.davidhammond.com, or email dhammond@davidhammond.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next week. Nihei de biru and mataya. Everyone, like the show? Enjoy hearing interviews with martial artists from around the world? Then share it with a friend, family member, co-worker, everyone at your dojo, your fellow karateka. You can find new episodes every Sunday at choptalk.podbean.com. That's choptalk.podbean.com. And don't forget to like the show on Facebook. Thanks.